Chapter 3. The Raven and the Patrician. Korax was shown into a modest suite of rooms by an efficient menial. They shared no conversation. The man wordlessly indicated Korax should sit upon one of two chaise longues in the main living space before leaving the Primarch alone. They were not a king's rooms. In the few decades Korax had fought in the Crusade, he had encountered potentates of every kind, alien and human. Differing wildly in every respect, a taste for luxury was one of the few commonalities between them, and one that several of his brothers shared. Rebute Gilliman was a lord in his own right. His realm of Ultramar was greater than most stellar empires, but his chambers did not match his station. Modestly appointed, they could have been those of any human dignitary or high-ranking space marine officer. Their size, however, announced who they had been made for. When Korax walked into rooms furnished solely for a Primarch's use, he experienced a curious shifting in reality. For a few rare moments, he was no longer a giant, but a man. The effect of shifting worlds, he noted, was similar to that of disconnecting from the Strategio Simulacra. The suite's central room was square, cloistered around the edges but open in the centre to a high ceiling, decorated with a moving cloudscape in reference to the enclosed courtyards common on Gilliman's homeworld. Living vegetation crowded the cloister roof, hanging swags of green leaves over the tiles and sweetening the air. More manicured shrubs stood in pots around the periphery of the floor. The unruly nature of living things had been pruned and plucked into obedience, so they appeared as upright as soldiers on parade. Behind them were orderly landscapes captured in murals. Specially regulated light mimicked the glow of McCrag's sun. Double doors led through four walls of the room. All save the entrance Korax had come in by were open onto other spaces, which were likewise decorated in pale creams, golds, and blues. Gilliman's tastes reflected those of sober McCrag. To Korax's sensibilities, the murals and the pilasters framing them were garish. Anything beautiful had to be small enough to hide on Lysias. Korax saw art in small things. Self-expression was a private affair, and only reluctantly shared. The prisoners of Lysias had taken what little time they had to themselves, chipping rock into beautiful, flowing forms. Gilliman's alcoves and his straight-lined geometric decorations, all slaved to the tyranny of the golden mean, appeared simultaneously ostentatious and rigid. Korax recognized that his perceptions were dictated by the austerity of prison life. Objectively, Gilliman could only be accused of vanity when it came to displaying how sensible he was. He put a lot of effort into that. Sometimes comically so, Korax thought. He was so desperate to show off how unshowy he was. He suspected Gilliman hid a large ego and a terrible temper under his rational exterior, although on that score Korax had no right to judge him. He had both himself. Still, there it was. Korax was engineered to hide, but he did not hide what he was. Not like his brother. But when Gilliman arrived, he shamed Korax for his harsh judgment. There was only dignified solicitude in his bearing.
"I'm sorry to keep you waiting, my brother," Gilliman said. "There were more matters that needed to be dealt with than I expected."
He smiled apologetically.
"There is always another matter."
"You were not long, but I am glad you are here," said Korax. "I feel like an imposter in places like this. There was nothing fine where I was raised."
"That is understandable."
Gilliman busied himself at a table, tidying up a stack of books that was threatening to topple.
"You must think our culture vulgar."
"Not at all," said Korax.
Gilliman smiled at the polite lie.
"Compared to some, yours are restrained," continued Korax. "Fulgrim's tastes must be overwhelming for you. Boarding the pride of the Emperor was like being punched repeatedly in the face by a perfumed fist. I was glad to be off it."
Gilliman laughed.
"I wouldn't tell him that. He's terribly proud of that ship.
I had no intention of doing so, said Korax.
Fulgrim was another demigod with a god-sized temper. The Lord of Ultramar straightened the books until they all aligned. They were differing sizes, and so neatness was confined to their outward-facing spines. Whichever of Gilliman's personal chambers Korax had been in on the McCrag's Honor, there was a stack of books somewhere, heaped up to tottering heights. The pages spilled untidy sheafs of notes, sticking out papery tongues at the chaos in the world. Layered between, harder strata in the towers of knowledge, were data slates and other devices. Gilliman was by nature a fastidious man, with everything assigned a proper place. But this tendency to order fought against his thirst for knowledge. Gilliman's quarters were littered with vessels for information, and he scattered them like the husks of nuts thrown aside by small animals as they frantically hunted for more sustenance. Gilliman went to an alcove and took up a tray bearing a tall bronze ewer and drinking vessels. He set it upon a low table between the couches and sat down. He did not recline. Korax's gaze moved from the books to the stern face of their owner. Gilliman looked only a little like him. About the angle of the cheeks, there was enough of a family resemblance to proclaim their brotherhood. Nothing more. Korax was pale and shadowed. Gilliman golden.
I saw an ocean for the first time only 10 years ago, said Korax.
Oh, said Gilliman. He raised the ewer in Korax's direction, tipping back the lid with a thumb catch. The Ravenlord's sensitive olfactory sense registered the fermented juices of grapes wafting from its throat. Wrapped up in the smell were volumes of information. The alcohol content, the colour, the acidity, and the other less tangible factors that contributed to them. How long ago the berry had diverged from its ancestor, the soil it had been cultivated in, fragments of gene code from the people who had made it, the composition of the air it had breathed, the trace minerals in the water that it drank.
I will drink, thank you, Korax said. There are no oceans on Deliverance, he went on, and none on Kievar either. There were many things I had no experience of, and the abstract knowledge Father engineered into me was no comparison to the thing itself. I lacked context. No wind, no sun, no rain. No weather in the prison, but the same steady light and stale draught of recycled air. No food other than prison rations.
A hard upbringing, said Gilliman.
He looked guilty. His youth had been glorious by comparison. He was raised a king's son.
I would say not, said Korax. It was not easy, but several of our other brothers had it worse than I. I was deprived of sensation, and when I see new things, I cannot help myself but make comparisons. My mind has become an engine for analogy.
He mocked himself. He had no idea why he was relating this to his brother. The words emerged. They seemed like someone else's.
Then you have a poetic soul.
I have no facility for the writer's arts, said Korax. The words will not come easily, but the images are there.
Your books remind me of the waves, said Korax. Your kingdom and the measured way you rule, it is the steadfast shore. It is your need for order. But the shore is pounded upon by the waves, and so disordered. That is your need for knowledge. I look at all these stacks of books and see peaks of knowledge thundering into the sand. Order against disorder.
Are you saying I'm untidy, brother? Said Gilliman wryly.
He handed Korax a finely worked glass full of wine. 10 mortal measures it contained. In Korax's grasp it did not seem excessive.
I think you could be. There is a tension in you, said Korax.
There is in us all, said Gilliman. Father made us that way. There are tensions within us and between us. The similarities between us throw the differences into starker contrast, and therefore create a further source of tension. Our competencies are duplicated, but are never in exactly the same combination.
Korax thought of Sanguinius and Angron, Dawn and Gilliman, the Khan and the Wolf. Similar pairings, all different, and part of other opposed pairs as well. In his desire for knowledge, Gilliman was similar to Magnus or Perturabo, though their interests were divergent. He also had Horace's flair for grand strategy. Besides Gilliman, Dawn shared tendencies with Perturabo, who shared others with the Gorgon. Sanguinius had Fulgrim's artfulness. So it went on. He thought of himself and Kurz, his inevitable comparator, his back tensed. He compared himself with the so-called Night Haunter often, and did not like what he saw.
"I spend my life and all my efforts in reducing systemic tension," said Gilliman. "One cannot rule a realm of Ultramar's size any other way. But I have my eyes open enough to see that tension is a source of energy."
"Tension pushes the Great Crusade outward," agreed Korax. "If yours is the tension between voracious curiosity and stability, what generates mine?"
Korax sipped the wine while Gilliman took a moment to formulate his answer. More information flooded his mind from the wine. How it must be to be truly human, Korax wondered. A mortal, a term he learned from his brothers, arrogant almost, but he could think of no better, lacked the additional organs that allowed the culling of hidden truths from ingestion. The warriors of his legion might experience the drinking of the wine a similar way to he, but their appreciation of it would be different, cruder, less refined. How alone he would feel, were it not for his brothers. He had been alone once. Korax was glad of Gilliman's presence.
"Yours is a tension between justice and vengefulness," said Gilliman at last. "You're similar to Kurz in that way, though I would say the proportions are reversed."
"Who is the more vengeful?" asked Korax.
"You don't need an answer to that. You have witnessed the Night Lord's work."
Seeing Korax's expression flicker distaste, Gilliman, ever the statesman, continued smoothly,
"But you are also similar to me. Both of us have a keen interest in the rule of law to impose fairness. We are both occupied by justice. Kurz speaks of justice, but he's concerned with revenge and enamoured of fear."
"I seek justice and peace," said Korax. "I've always desired to write a book on governance, to complement your and the Emperor's works on generalship, though saying it out loud, the idea seems boastful."
"You are allowed to boast, my brother. The idea is worth exploring, and I am sure you would do a fine job," said Gilliman. "Our species is fond of treatises on warfare, but makes little time for those concerning a good peace."
As he spoke, he made a note upon a scratch pad by his couch. The screen fluoresced at the pressure of the stylus, very bright to Korax's night-attuned eyes. The pad was never far from Gilliman's hand.
"I'm sure the Emperor has his own ideas on ruling the galaxy fairly," said Korax.
"Naturally. But then why make children if you are not interested in learning from them?" countered Gilliman. "Our father is a wise being, but he cannot know everything. He made us for more than war."
"I cannot know if that is true. You have spent more time with him than I."
"I did, at the beginning," said Gilliman somewhat sadly, "though I had to give up much to do so."
Korax drank a deeper draught of wine. It was hard to simply enjoy it. Its bared soul waved for his attention. The innate properties dissected by his Primarch's senses crowded out the glory of the whole.
"Forgive the dour nature of my conversation," said Korax. "I am a latecomer to our brotherhood. I am something of an outsider. I do not see myself ever fitting in."
"You're doing well," Gilliman reassured him. "You are respected by the others, and there will be time for you to get to know our father better when the wars are done."
Korax smiled.
"I apologize. I treat you like an older brother. If my questioning irritates you..."
Gilliman waved a hand.
"Not at all. You're not long with your legion. Besides, though we were created at the same time, I am older than you, subjectively speaking."
"More time accounts for only part of your skill," said Korax, recovering some of his good humour. "Our adventures in your machine are proof that you are a finer tactician than I. The Strategio Simulacra is a test of empire building." "You are a force for liberation," said Gilliman.
Without the resources available to me from my other worlds, were the contest to be decided solely on the basis of a single planet, then you might well have bested me more than 3 times.
But not every time, I think, said Korax. You are the superior general.
Pride and humility crossed over Ginnaman's face, one after the other.
Well, maybe not every time. But you, my brother, are the superior insurgent and the better warrior. Your mistake is to concentrate too much of your personal attention on detail. I prefer a grander overview. But we were all made for different purposes. The more of us that are found, and the more time I spend with our brothers, the more astounded I am by the majesty of the Emperor's plan. I am not so adept at leading my troops from the front as you. You are a potent saboteur. I have learned a lot in the last few days. The lone assassins you employed against me were quite dangerous. Using such unstable troops is not something that suits my temperament, but their efficacy cannot be denied. I shall be looking into creating a corps of my own.
My shadow killers? There are many suited to the role in my legion, said Korax.
There are murderers in my legion, too, I regret to admit, said Gilliman.
There are bad men wherever there are men, said Korax. But there is a condition that afflicts some of my sons. The Terrans call it ash blindness. Those from Deliverance, Sablebrand. It is a mental dissonance that plunges them into a state of deep and violent despair. A quirk of my gene seed, I suppose. I've always been introspective.
You should not blame yourself. Not one legion has a perfect success rate. There are always problems, sometimes years after implantation.
I've not come across a similar issue in the others. This problem is peculiar to my warriors. Your legion, for example, is mostly free of difficulties.
Mostly, but not entirely.
Korax experienced a flash of annoyance. He liked this brother, but Gilliman had an innate high-handedness he could not disguise. Especially when it came to his legion or his realm, he could be a little smug.
This problem has to be connected to me, said Korax. The darkening of the eyes and the lightening of the skin of those struck by the affliction suggests a clear link. Around 1 in 1,500 recruits succumb, at my latest estimates. Never many, but never few either. It is especially problematic among the Xeric tribesmen I inherited from father, though I have begun to notice it among my warriors from Deliverance also. When the despair takes hold, they are good for little more than killing until the mood lifts. And it does not always.
If they are as effectively deployed as those, Moritat?
Gilliman raised his eyebrows in a request for confirmation.
I have taken to calling them that, agreed Korax.
You employed in the simulation, continued Gilliman, you should see them as an asset. I will be instituting a similar assassin cadre in my legion also. Despite what you say, I am sure I can find warriors fit for the same role.
Gilliman drained his glass in 3 swift gulps, an action that seemed out of tune with his considered nature.
Now, if you will permit me to change the subject, I would like to hear more on your thoughts on governance. The Crusade will not last forever. The peace will be far longer than the war.
If only that were the case now, said Korax.
Your latest mission?
Korax nodded.
My orders send me to join the 27th Expeditionary Fleet at Karanai. The Sodality's lack of respect towards our ambassadors compounds the sin of their refusal to comply. Negotiations have dragged on for 6 months. This is their last chance to comply before force is employed.
I see. What is the nature of the insult?
There are many. But there has been an escalation in tone. Most recent and egregious is their return of Imperial iterators, minus their tongues and hands. The Emperor requires the Karanians to be punished.
It falls to me.
I am closer to hand than the Night Lords, who the expeditionary commander originally requested.
Korax showed a quick, humorless curve of the lips, more snarl than smile.
The expedition leader Fenk wanted to terrify the Karanians into submission.
It might have worked, and I think the Emperor wishes me to perform the same role.
but I will not play impersonator to our brother. I've worked hard to distance my legion from its past practices of terror. The compliance will be won cleanly.
When do you leave?
In 2 days standard, said Korax. We shall depart next time we enter the warp. I'm sorry to go. We have made good war together, and I have enjoyed your society.
A shame. There is so much more to discuss.
As you say, there is always another matter. It is true for dialogue and war.
Gilliman poured more wine for them both.
Then we had best talk quickly,